NASA's Big Bang fix for Voyager 2 is one of those stories that's genuinely remarkable if you think about what it represents. Voyager 2 has been in space since 1977, 49 years. It is now somewhere beyond 19 billion kilometers from Earth. When NASA engineers need to fix something on that spacecraft, the light travel time for a signal each way is about 17 hours. The Big Bang fix, which apparently involved a software patch that redistributed power usage, extended the mission by at least a year. The engineering challenge of remotely patching software on a 50-year-old spacecraft operating at the edge of the solar system with a 34-hour round-trip communication delay is almost impossible to overstate.
The Starship booster situation is a sharp contrast. Musk said this week that the booster recovery from the ocean is not looking good after 2 weeks at sea. Starship's development model has always been to iterate fast through failures, but a booster that can't be recovered from a two-week sea deployment raises questions about the long-term economics of reusability. The entire business case for Starship is aggressive reuse. If hardware that ends up in the ocean takes 2+ weeks to potentially not recover, the economics of that reuse model need recalibration.
MIT physicists published something this week that I find genuinely compelling for what it tells us about quantum materials. Their ultrafast laser experiments captured two coexisting electronic phases in a quantum material simultaneously in real time, rebuilding through fundamentally different mechanisms after being disrupted by a laser pulse. The significance is that quantum materials can exist in multiple phases at once, and those phases compete or coexist depending on conditions. That's not just fundamental physics curiosity. It's the basic science underlying quantum computing hardware and next-generation superconductors. Understanding how those phases rebuild dynamically is the kind of knowledge that eventually shows up in actual devices.
The bird genome story is a different kind of scientific milestone. Researchers published the first complete genome of a bird species, apparently a songbird, and found thousands of genes that had been missed in previous partial sequences. This matters for biodiversity science, evolutionary biology, and potentially for understanding how birds manage to diversify into roughly 10,000 species from a single ancestor group. The genes that were hidden in previous sequences often contain regulatory functions. They don't code for proteins directly, but they control when and how other genes are expressed. Finding thousands of them suggests our previous picture of avian genetics was significantly incomplete.
Darwin would appreciate the timing, given that another story this week confirmed his 1875 hypothesis about a carnivorous plant. A Saxifraga species, which Darwin observed and theorized was digesting insects, was confirmed in Nature Communications to actually trap, digest, and absorb nutrients from insects. 150 years between observation and experimental confirmation. The lesson there is partly about the difficulty of proving passive carnivory. The plant doesn't have active trapping mechanisms, like a Venus flytrap. So the evidence is subtler. And partly about how Darwin's observational instincts continue to prove prescient across a remarkable range of biological questions.
On the environmental front, Lake Mead hitting its lowest recorded level is not a normal weather story. Lake Mead is the largest reservoir in the United States by volume and supplies water to roughly 40 million people across Nevada, Arizona, California, and Mexico. A record low level in August, peak demand season, means there is no buffer before winter refill. The Colorado River Compact that governs water allocation among 7 states was written in the 1920s based on flow rates that turned out to be unusually high for that era. The combination of structural overallocation and sustained drought is producing a water accounting crisis that has no clean political solution.
The public health stories also deserve attention. 9 Vibrio vulnificus infections and 5 deaths in Louisiana in 2026, already exceeding the 10-year annual average with peak warm water seasons still ongoing. Vibrio vulnificus, the flesh-eating bacteria, thrives in warm coastal waters and typically enters the body through wounds or raw shellfish consumption. Its expansion northward in recent years tracks directly with Gulf Coast water temperature increases. And the Cyclospora outbreak threatening lettuce growers across North America is a separate but related food safety story. Cyclospora is a waterborne parasite, and outbreaks without a clear-linked source across multiple growing regions suggest either a contaminated irrigation source or gaps in the traceability infrastructure for produce.